Right now, though, we need to go and do the Israel report. Today, we're chatting to Yigal Marcus, director at the Republicans Overseas. And we'll be finding out what it is making news in Israel today, although no prizes for guessing. Yigal Marcus, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
My pleasure. Good being with you.
So your title, director at Republicans Overseas, like it hasn't jumped out at me when we've spoken before as much as it has today. You must be feeling really rather let down, I would imagine.
Well, let's put it this way. Let down is a little bit of a soft term.
Okay.
Betrayed, backstabbed,
okay.
I'm not even sure. I'm running out of words here. This is a surrender to the greatest exporter of terrorism in the world. This is weakness. This is peace in our time. And I don't mean that in, you know, quote unquote, peace in our time, not peace through strength. Ronald Reagan would be rolling over and probably is rolling over in his grave. This is an utter embarrassment to the United States of America and a great danger to the state of Israel.
You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking Batya Ungar-Sargon has been saying for a long time that the left has betrayed the Jewish community, who were so wedded to the left and its ideologies. And there were so many people moving over to the right. But this has done the exact same thing. I think the Jews in the United States are now politically homeless.
We are. And it's really sad. You know, this is all about the midterm elections, because a person, you know, I was mentioning, posted on Facebook that I've never seen somebody on one day be the most popular person in Israel and the next day be the least popular person in Israel. Polls have come out where Israelis en masse have felt completely betrayed by this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense what he did. I can only attribute it to J.D. Vance, who proved to us that he can't run for president. But I can't explain it. It's crazy.
Doesn't it make sense from his perspective, though? Sorry, I mean, I know we're supposed to be talking more about Israel, but I'm fascinated by this particular issue. Doesn't it make sense? He's president of the United States of America. He's not president of Israel. From a purely American perspective, is there not something to be said about the fact that he was losing so much support, that he had midterms around the corner, that gas prices were insane, that Americans didn't want to be involved in this war? Did he in fact have a choice? Without justifying what he's done for 1 minute, because I agree with Horovitz saying it's catastrophic. I think it is catastrophic. But looking at it through his eyes.
Absolutely. There was other options, you know, in my private sector, not getting into the what I do for a living, but what we came out with was the very worst thing to happen is a prolonged conflict.
Mm.
And so when you have a conflict like this, you hit very hard and very, very quickly. And that didn't happen. We were bombing. There were a lot of things that were held back. There were a lot of threats being made. Everyone ignored Donald Trump's threats. And so that left him in a position of, and Iran played him like a fiddle. Mm-hmm. Iran played President Trump like a fiddle, that as we're getting towards the midterms and the price of oil, the price of gasoline in America remains high, the pressure is going to be turned on. And guess what? The pressure was turned on and he completely folded. He completely folded because of the midterm elections. And instead of dealing with the problem very fast, he condemned Israel for not doing it fast enough with Hezbollah, because we choose not to carpet bomb. But by him stopping and waiting 2 months for a two-week with a two-week ceasefire, that caused the situation that he's in. Iran knew it. They played him along, and he folded. And that is weakness. The world is seeing that. The allies of the world are seeing that. Israel is seeing that. And the message is very clear. You can play Donald Trump. You cannot rely on him as an ally. And at the end of the day, money and the lust for power is what's
driving
him right now.
And he's emboldened.
And that's very sad.
He's emboldened every single Iranian proxy in the area, because they know exactly that Americans' words means nothing.
And he's giving them the money. And he's not giving them money, but he's allowing everyone else to give them the money.
Yeah.
So in a matter of days, our enemies are going to be rearming, they're going to be enriched, and they're going to be emboldened. Why? Because he wants to win an election, and he wants to get the price of gasoline down. If he thinks that that allowing Iran now to hold the world hostage to the Straits of Hormuz is not a national security issue, then he's insane. But what he's doing is he's giving them the funds and the ability, effectively, to rearm and reverse all the work that we've been doing, not for 2 months or 5 years, but for 10 years. And that is really, really sick. It's really, really scary.
Yigal, we had a listener weigh in earlier this afternoon. Her name is Hannah. She was saying she thinks we're all jumping to the wrong conclusion, that really what he's doing is he's buying himself 60 days. And we can't really make these pronouncements at this point because we don't know. What do you think about like that?
So look, I've spoken to Republican colleagues. There may be a little bit of truth to that. I really hope there is, because you never know. I think it's the natural instinct for everybody to hear something like this happen and come up with all sorts of conclusions. There is one thing that happened today, and it made a very small headline, that may indicate that there's a bigger story here. And that's as follows. Lindsey Graham, who's Israel's greatest friend in the Senate, he has been an absolute supporter of the war in Iran. It came out earlier this week and said, this is a terrible deal, it's bad. Had a meeting with Steve Witkoff, who is probably a persona no grata right now in Israel. But that being said, he had a meeting with Steve Witkoff, came out of that meeting and expressed support for the deal. So something was told to him that wasn't in the documents, that wasn't private, which made Senator Lindsey Graham come out and suddenly support this deal. Okay. And so that's the only real indication that something else may be brewing. I hope it's right. But right now, you have a lot of very scared, concerned people.
You see, that's the one drop of hope that I think there is here. I watched Dan Senor put out a reel on Instagram yesterday saying the reason he hasn't dropped an episode is that there's contradictory messages coming out of the administration, and that until things had clarified, he wasn't going to do another call me back. And I just thought, what does he know that we don't know? Maybe that just correlates with exactly what you're saying now. Maybe, maybe, maybe not.
Well, the problem is they're not doing a good job in the messaging, because you have some of the biggest podcasters, you know, Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin, coming out dead against it. Like, call them up and say, guys, trust us, shut up for a while. Okay. They didn't do that. Yeah. So they're allowing this terrible messaging to come out. And what is the ultimate purpose of that? I don't know, except to try to, I don't know. I'm at a loss of words.
Yigal, we got a hard stop at about 1 minute to six, but I do want to use all the time to talk to you. I'll give up on a song. I think there's too much going on in Israel to play music when we need to discuss issues.
I can sing if you want. I'm happy to sing.
Perhaps I'd prefer it if you don't mind. Yigal, this is going to play itself out in Lebanon. I'm just wondering to what extent Lebanon is the red line for Israel. Israel finds itself in the most awful predicament. Soldiers are dying daily. The north, people have just gone home. Israel cannot leave southern Lebanon, and yet it looks like they're going to be forced to. Do you think that Israel can remain in Lebanon despite American pressure, or is that just utterly unrealistic?
Yeah, so I think the answer is we absolutely have to stay in Lebanon. And the answer is, the reason for that is as follows. We discovered massive, massive amounts of tunnels and infrastructure. They were an invading army building up and ready to go. And we will not allow October 7th to happen. Come hell or high water, we will not allow it to happen again. And so Bibi or whoever the next prime minister is going to be will not be able to withdraw from Lebanon until the Hezbollah threat is eliminated. And any administration that's going to come out and say that Israel can't defend itself as a sovereign nation is insane. And Israel cannot, and I really hope not, listen to it. If it means that the cost of gasoline is going to go up for the rest of the world, that's too bad. But Jewish blood is not cheap. We're going to defend it to the best of our ability.
I hear you. I understand exactly where you're coming from. I just don't know whether in the world of realpolitik that's a realistic solution. I just think Israel is so diplomatically isolated in the current time, more than it's ever been in its history. I don't know how it gets to remain there facing the kind of pressure that's coming its way.
Well, think about it this way. We have nothing to lose. Everyone hates us. Just ask Donald Trump. Everyone hates you. Okay. So if everyone hates us, why don't we just do the right thing for our own people and trust in God?
That's what Khabib Vertegoor has been saying for a long time. He said, you want to put us in a corner and leave us no option. You haven't understood who we are and what we are, and the fact that we'll be unrestrained and do what it is that needs to be done, which is a very powerful thing to have said.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. At some point, we're not going to change the minds of the people who hate us. As you saw today and you're seeing this week, our flag coming down in the World Cup, France illegally just overnight boarding up our vendors. They hate us. We have to learn to live with that and to go on offense. And by sitting back and constantly being worried about the pressure that's going to be on, we have to worry about Jewish blood, because during the Holocaust, no one could give a darn. Everyone turned their back. We can't do that anymore. We have to put the Jewish people first, not America first, and not any other people first. It's the Jewish people first. And for that, everything has to be done to defend our people. And that's why we're not leaving Lebanon anytime soon. And by the way, the Israeli public strongly agrees with that. The Israeli public very strongly are behind the idea that we need to defend ourselves from an invading army in the north, and if we have to do what we have to do.
In the 1 minute that we have remaining, you mentioned this incident of the Israeli flag removed at the World Cup. I didn't actually see the detail. Was that an official who required the removal of the flag? What actually happened there, if you don't mind, in like 1 minute?
Yeah, my understanding is that they had all the flags of the nations all over the world, and they left Iran, they left the Palestinian flag, they took down the Israeli flag. It seemed to be official, but of course FIFA is not going to is not responding because they don't have an explanation for it. But it seems to be an official move. Requests have been made for comment, and they haven't responded. And I understand they're, another act of anti-Semitism. They really have nothing to say. So it is what it's going to be. I wouldn't worry about it too much because
we've got other things to worry about.
We have nothing to lose anymore. Yeah, we got bigger fish to fry.
Yigal, we're going to leave it there. Just before you go, I just want to read you a message that's come through while we're talking from somebody called Marcel Scher. She says, what a brilliant reporter. So I enjoyed listening to you this afternoon. Thank you for the input.
But I didn't sing yet. I got to sing.
Luckily, we've got the buttons here. We can shut you down. Yigal Marcus, thank you so very much for your input here this afternoon. Despite the fact that what you had to say was very sobering indeed.